Welcome to the Coach Louisa Show. We are here to coach you to your success, to coach you to your purpose, your passion, and your destiny. Tune in each week, Monday through Friday morning, for a lesson, a tool, or a tip or strategy on how to dig deep past all the things that are hiding the true you. Find out not only who you are, but exactly what you ought to be doing in your life, where you should be going, and how you should be getting there. Well, I am Louisa J. Williams, your coach, and I am honored and grateful to be here to assist you. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and enjoy the show. You can contact Coach Louisa after the show via the internet. You can visit the website www.lilisajwilliams.com, or for free coaching sessions just for you, go to www.mylifecompass.com/Lilisa Williams. Now I want you to sit back, get that pen and pencil out, get ready to take lots of notes. We got activities lined up for you. Get ready to go to another level in your life. And don't forget, invite a friend tomorrow. The show is going to be awesome. And now, Coach Louisa J. Williams.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome, welcome, welcome to the show today. Another dynamic session of the Coach Louisa Show. Well, today is tremendous Tuesdays, and I mean it's going to be a tremendous day. We just want to welcome you to the show. Welcome to our guests in the chat room. Welcome, Ms. Patricia Martin. Thank you again for being here with us. Welcome to those of you who will listen to the download later. Welcome to those of you who are on our switchboards. I want to say hello to our good friends down in North Carolina. Good morning, good morning, and welcome. Good morning, Ms. Dancy. Good morning, Ms. Elaine. Good morning to my sister, Hope, and good morning, Beverly, if you get a chance to listen to the downloads. And to Yvonne, I know there are lots of you who you're not able to tune in at 7 a.m. because of your other obligations and situations that you have going on, but you faithfully listen to the downloads, and we thank you, and we certainly appreciate you. Good morning, Mr. Lloyd, Ms. Alice, and others. I also want to say a special, special good morning to Ms. Colette, that I got a chance to meet over the phone yesterday. Good morning, good morning, and welcome, welcome, welcome. Well, we have a very, very, very exciting topic today. I am so excited about our topic today. Define what drives you. You have to define what drives you. I was telling a group of students yesterday, I said, do you ever go to New York City? And, you know, the people were all rushing around, and they were like, oh, yeah, you go over there at night? I said, no, you got to go around 9 o'clock in the morning. Oh, let me tell you, the people there are driven. They're all going to their offices, studios, the stores, wherever they're headed. You know, you just feel the electricity. So good morning, good morning, and welcome. We're going to talk today. We want to get your electricity going. We want to get your energy going. But you have to first find out what defines you. Now, I'm going to be doing a series of coaching and teaching in the area of life balance. I've been doing some other types of topics, but now I'm going to focus on life balance, and then we're going to turn to some other areas of your life. So it's going to take us a few weeks, as a matter of fact, several weeks, we cannot get through. We cannot even get through all of defining what drives you, but you're going to be digging deep. However, for those of you, I did invite some of you to my home for a private coaching session, and then some of you will have other opportunities to come for coaching. Now, most of you know that most life coaches or coaches of any kind, there's always a fee. There's always a fee. Now, we come here on the radio each and every day, Monday through Friday, and we coach you into your success. We coach you into your dream life. We're coaching you to the things that matter most to you. But some people want more. You want more than what you get here. You know, this is great, but it's just not enough, and you want more. So we're going to be able to offer you where you can get coaching every day for coaching for your life. So good morning, good morning. And then at the end of the show, I will open up the phone lines. When I'm doing this kind of coaching, when I open up the phone lines, I will give you an opportunity to ask questions right here live, right here on this show. You can ask Coach Lalisa questions. We're going to do this for the hope, for the spring, for the whole month of April, and see how that goes. You know, my career has changed. I had to do this. I had to finally, or at first, have you want to look at it, put myself through the same coaching model that I'm going to present to each of you. And that model is to live, to learn to live, how to step into your own life, to step into your dream life. It's wonderful to sit back and to dream it up, but it's another thing to step into it. So I had to step there myself. It's nothing like hands-on experience. It's nothing like going through it yourself. You know, many of our children, I think that's why they're so quick to have babies. They see us doing it. They hear what we say, and they're like, I want to try it. I want to see, you know. And the boy, oh boy, do some of them really see. And they go out and do it. So, you know, it's a great thing. Same thing happens on a job. People see how their employer has a business and is making profits and is willing and dealing and making negotiations and all these things. And they say, I think I can try that. I think I want to do it. And they step into it. Well, this is what's happening. We're coaching people every day to live their dream, to live their greatest life right now. Not next week, not next month, but walk into it now. And I'm telling you, on that day in February, the 22nd, I believe it was, when I walked in there and said, I resign, my entire life changed. I can't even explain all the changes that came to my life from those simple words. You know, I know, yes, actually it was, what's today? This is March. Actually, it was March the 7th. It was February 28th. The last day of February was February 28th. So I got to mark that day. You know, you got to, certain days you have to mark and remember, you know, like the day we got saved and the day we were baptized, the day we met our husbands. And the many days I don't remember, but for some reason, I want to remember this day, March 28th. And boy, oh boy, oh boy, what a day that was. I didn't think anything could top that. And then yesterday happened. Yesterday, I was in rare form, walking in my dream. So I want to know, what drives you? Well, you know, in my book, Release Your Power, I wrote in there that when you discover who you really are, when you discover your purpose, what drives you, literally, you will explode. You will explode. I mean, your life will go over the top. I'm telling you. You will begin to get ideas that you never had before. You will begin to see visions for businesses, for programs for nonprofit organizations. When you, I'm telling you, when you become who you really are, literally your life will grow in leaps and bounds. Your own passion, your very own passion will drive you to places that you never thought you could be. It'll drive you to do things that you never thought you would do. Now, that's two things I just said. It will drive you to places you never thought you'd go. It will drive you to do things that you never thought you would do. And the interesting thing about both of those is that it will then bring you into the presence of people that you never thought you would meet. People that you could have never met if you stay where you are. Let me repeat that. When you explode, when you get driven, when you get on purpose for your life and really become all that you dream, all that you want to be, it will take you places that you never thought you would go, that you could have never dreamed of that even exist. All of a sudden, you end up there. And it will cause you to do things that you never thought you would do. I never thought in my wildest dreams I would own and have my own radio show, my own radio station, because that's literally what you have. When you are with Blog Talk Radio, you can literally, this is a station. I can bring any type of programming that I want right here on this station 7 days a week. Okay, within that 24-hour day period. So it will cause you to go places you never ever thought you could go, do things you never thought you could do. And those two things right there, those two things right there will bring you, here's the best part, will bring you into the presence of people that you never could have met on your own, or people that you never could have met until you had stepped out of your comfort zone, until you began to walk in what drives you. When you discover who you are, as soon as, and you know, the title of the book is Release Your Power, 8 Strategies for Becoming Who You Really Are. All my life, I was told, you're not smart enough. You can't do this. You won't do that. Now, oddly enough, the voice was the one, sometimes, it was oftentimes in my own head. There was no one physically saying it to me. The voice was a recording that was over and over. We call those, some of us in the coaching business, we call those gremlins. It's the gremlin. I don't know who your gremlin is. Your gremlin could be the voice of a school teacher, a grandparent, typically grandparents. For some reason, I don't know what it is about grandparents. Some of them, they're very, 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 very loving. And because they are so loving, when they tell us something, we believe it as the gospel. Because I know for me as a child, I thought the last thing my grandmother would do was hurt me. I knew this lady loved me. I looked like her a little bit. We shared a very, very similar name. I was told that I was almost named after her, Lillian, Lalisa. So when grandparents say things, I think it's even more important than when our own parents say them, because everybody knows that grandparents just simply adore their offspring's offspring. You know, it's kind of funny, but it's not funny. So grandparents, be very, very careful of anything that you say to your child. For instance, I was told by my grandmother that I could not sing, S-I-N-G, sing. And for years, I was trapped with this thing that I have a horrible voice. She told me one day, I'll never forget this. She said, Lalisa, if you can sing, I can make a watch, W-A-T-C-H. Now, I was young enough. I was young, kid, you know, like 6 or 7 or so. But, or maybe I was a little older, 7, 8, 9, somewhere. And I used to like to sing and try to sing. and she would hear me because I would sing around the house. And but I remember her telling me that when I was very young, and I knew enough about, because, you know, back in those days, you know, the Timexes were first coming out, and, you know, every Christmas, you know, you had to at least try to get a watch for your, and I know parents probably still get those for their kids, right? You get a watch for Christmas. That was a humongous toy for us. That was a special Christmas when you got a watch. And so, because, you know, telling time symbolizes that you're growing up and all this other stuff. So here I am being told this. I knew enough about watches to know they were complicated to make. Because, you know, nobody can figure out how that little hand is ticking inside and, you know, how those, how it got there. So I knew that I could not sing. So now here's a kid who can then internalize that. So then I internalized that I couldn't do other things. So every other thing that I thought I wasn't good at, that same gremlin voice would play. You can't do that, to the extent that it's crazy, it's impossible. So these gremlins can keep us locked in for many, many years, as mine did, until I was around 42 is when that gremlin was broken. And it was broken when, during a time period when I was working at Continental Airlines, they had a coach come in. They had a woman coach came to do a group session with our team. And she came in, and it was an exercise that she did with us. I'll never forget it. This was 1998. So, yeah, I was right around 42 years old. So 1998, this woman comes in, and she does this seminar with us. And she has us sit paired up, two on two. And she had, you know, she's talking about these things. And she had us tell the person next to us what were some things that we were told as children or something like that. And somehow I came up with that. And, you know, some, what were some of these things we were told as kids that we didn't, that we believed and blah, blah, blah. And then somehow she got us to see how foolish it was for us to still believe these things that we were told when we were little kids that may no longer be true. And so I talk about things like that in my book, Release Your Power. And that's when I realized that, yeah, why am I holding on to that? As a matter of fact, then the partner that you were with, you had to sort of demonstrate whatever this thing was they said you couldn't do. And at that spot, the person asked me to sing. And I did. I sang, you know, a couple chords of something. And they were like, oh, that's not bad. And that's when it hit me. Maybe she was wrong. Whatever. So that was good, right? Well, 2 years ago, I met this gentleman over the phone. His woman introduced me to him, and we were over the phone. She told me he was a professional singer. And I said, oh, really? It's just 2 years ago. Now I'm 53 at this point. And I get on the phone. I said, oh, wow, you can sing. And he sang a song or whatever, whatever. And then I shared with him, for whatever reason, I shared with him my story about being told that I could not sing, if this person could make a watch and all of that. And he says, well, I'm a pretty good judge of singing. Let me hear you. And, no, I know what it was. He says, oh, that's interesting. You know, he began to explain to me how our voice is a muscle. It has to be exercised the same way you exercise other muscles. As you exercise them, they get stronger, they get bigger. And he says, you know, you could have, you know, developed singing, blah, blah, blah. So I said, okay. And so I sang something right there over the phone for him. And he says, oh, you have a nice voice. You know, you can sing. He says, singing is a matter of exercising your vocal cords, exercising that voice with purpose, on mission. And when he says that, that unlocked a whole nother door of my life. So I'm telling you, I'm just trying to give you a live experience, a live example to get you to see what are you not doing because of your gremlin, something that somebody might have told you when you were 5, 4, 7, 10, and you're not doing it because of that. Could be a grandparent, could be an uncle, an aunt, could be a teacher. There are many, many teachers who, again, they tell children, you can't. can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do this or that. And that child internalizes that. But here's the saddest part. Not only will they think they can't do the thing that you're actually speaking of, but they will begin to associate that there are other things that they can't do. They will never probably speak on them. Not every child is open enough to come home and, you know, share with mommy and daddy, you know, somebody told me that I'll never be an architect. You know, I told my teacher I like drawing buildings, and they told me, child, forget it, you'll never do that. You see, not every child will come home and say that. They'll just allow that dream to die right on the spot, have the burial service, the choir is singing, the pallbearers come out, and the whole nine yards is played right there in their minds and buried in their heart. And some, it's sad to say, even take their, you know, dreams into the grave with them. But we're here to stop that. You're going to get out of you everything God placed there, because everything he placed there was a treasure to explode in the earth, not in the ground, okay? Remember, he took us out of the ground. So if he wanted us to take these gifts and talents back to the ground, we'll see, that wouldn't have made sense, right? There are some things that just don't make sense any longer when you get older. So we're going to define, I want you to define what drives you. What gives you that drive? What moves you? And I discovered for myself, I discovered what drives me, and you got to discover what drives you. For instance, like Patricia Martin, taking care of children, that may be what drives her. I'm talking about what causes you to stay up night and day. What can you stay up all night doing? You have no, absolutely no negative bone in your body when it comes to that thing. When it comes to that, you are driven. For me, it's helping people discover their gifts, their talents, their abilities, their skills. That's what drives me. And it took me all these years, until I got into my late 40s to discover that. I've been doing it all my life, tidbits of it, some shape, form, or replica of it, some symbolic, you know, piece of it. I've been doing it ever since I was like maybe 5 or 6, starting with my sister, who was just 2 years younger than me, 18 months, Beverly, always getting her to do different things. So it started years ago. However, I didn't know it was a driving force for me, you see. So what drives you? For some kids, it's doing hair. They're driven. I know one girl, she could put like 510 hairstyles in your hair in an hour. She's driven to do hair, believe me, you. Some people are driven to teach people how to read. Some people are driven to make dishes. Like, they can make any type of eating dish, decoration, you name it, they can do it. Even though passion is so powerful, it is what drives you. It can keep you up all night and you're not sleepy the next morning. You can still go and run a marathon if you tap into what drives you. I didn't say what you just like to do. I didn't say just what you're good at, but what drives you. Now, if you put all those together, you got a gold mine for life. But passion is so powerful. It's one of the most powerful things. It's even people, you ever see people, even those of us who go to church, you ever see people, some people there, they're so unpassionate. Oh, my God, you're wondering, why are they here? Why don't they just watch TV? Church by television, they're sitting there like a lump on the log, turned sideways, not really looking like they're into the service. You're like, what is going on here? And then you got those other people that are literally bouncing off the walls. It's powerful when you're passionate, but you got to know what drives you. But even though this is so powerful, yet when I go to the various colleges, when I travel to the various schools, when I go into the various women's groups and places, the workplace, oh, my God, so sad. I find that so many people just do not live very passionate day-to-day lives. And I was one of them. However, in the back of my mind was the word passion. You've got to get to your passion. And you've got to get to your passion. You hear a phone ringing? Okay, go answer that phone and come right back. Now, Patricia said she's driven to get up early in the morning to talk to all of you and chat each morning. Awesome, 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 Pat. What about you, Kiva? What are you driven to do? What drives you? And you may not know. It's okay. Yes. Okay. Somebody was making a joke. They said that they can stay up all night anyway. It's part of growing older. This is true. This is true. But while you're up, can you do what is driving you? What is driving you? Yes. Okay, the guest said yes. Said, I never thought I would write a book. It just came out last week. Tell us your book. Tell us the name of your book. If that guest is still in the chat room, I think that's the one who had to answer a phone, possibly. Okay, so maybe they'll come back. Said they never thought they would ever write a book. Oh, they got the link on here, www.blurb.com/bookstore/detail2016991. Well, Pat's going to go to that site and get the topic and come back and tell us the name of that book. Oh, yes, and the guest says, even the space shuttle has a mission. You know, that's very good. How is it that we, a human being, can make products, build services that have a mission, but we fail to often get a mission for our own lives? I don't understand that. How a great God can make us, and we spend our whole life saying, oh, I don't have a purpose here. I don't have a mission in life. I don't have a purpose here. I don't have a mission in life. I don't have a... Okay, you get the picture. And yet, mankind can make all kinds of products and services. You name it. The couch has a purpose. The purpose is to let me sit here. You see, the computer was made with a purpose, and its purpose has developed over time. They made the computers just so people could keep data and not have to, have stores and stores and stores of paper, maybe to reduce some of the killing of trees, but I think we kill more trees, though. And all of these different reasons why the computer was made, and, of course, then the Internet came about because there was a computer. There was a time, I know some of y'all don't know anything about this, you're too young, but there was a time there was a computer but no Internet, okay? So there was just a computer you could go on and type some documents and things of that nature, build some databases and what have you. And that was it. You didn't go on the web and talk to your friends around the world. Just wasn't happening. And then there was a time when there was the Internet, but there was no Facebook. Okay? So things do evolve. You'll take something, and you'll come up with a new purpose for it, a new way to use it. Same thing with our lives. God didn't make us to be just one thing, but he made us to be one thing with many things wrapped inside of us. We're just vessels with these hidden treasures. So I want to know, what about you? When did you experience, when was the last time that you've experienced these feelings of just pure joy that can only come sometimes from following your passion, not just knowing it? Because I knew my passion. Like I said, it's been several years now, but I wasn't able to follow it. I went from knowing. First you go from not knowing to discovering, from discovering to knowing, and then from knowing to following. For some people, all of that can happen within 6 month time or a year's time. It can happen in a day. You could have come here today, not even thinking about it. Discover it, know it, and follow it. So I will ask you a question. How often is your life lit up by this intense excitement that comes with finding your passion, what drives you? You know, little children do it. You watch go ahead, I dare you. Go to any little playground or anywhere there's little children, like around 3, 4, 5. You will see many of them operating in their passion. They will get a hold of something, and boy, oh boy, oh boy, they'll hold on to it, and they'll do it forever. You try to take it from them, they might bite you. But kids, they do this a lot. You did it when you were a child, and then society happened, life happened, people happened, and you changed. But you got to get back to that. You got to get to that childlike mentality, you know. See, as a child, you knew exactly what your passion was. Sometimes it changed day by day, like the computer. The computer changes every day. The cell phones, every day on the cell phones, they're adding. That's why they had to make the kind of cell phones we have today that just have applications that you can download from memory, because they were coming up with so many new things that they wanted to do to the phones. And, you know, production was getting out of whack because they would constantly have to go back to the production table to produce an entire new phone to handle another application. Well, they got smart and said, wait a minute, why don't we just develop phones within memory, develop the applications, and just have people download the application. Therefore, we don't have to keep making a new phone, you know, every 6 months. We'll just make them now, you know, every year. They're getting better. They're getting better. But things of like with TVs. Again, remember we had that one kind of television forever. Then they came out with another television where the screen was a little bit different. And then they came out with the flat screen television. And then they came out with a television that you can literally hook a box up to it and download various applications to your TV. And you no longer have to order HBO because you can just watch any movie anytime. You just download the movie right from Netflix and all this other stuff. So, there's always that. But if we can do these things with metal and other things that we make, just a product that has no life to it, what about us? What about you? What about me? Okay? What are you going to do? How are you going to discover your passion? What you're passionate about? I'm telling you, y'all, I'm going to be on this mission for a minute because, wow, my life, I have the same husband. I'm living in the same home, sitting on the same sofa. I have the same exact car. Last time I looked in the mirror, I have the same exact hair. But I'm telling you, when I walked into my passion, not just discovering it, when I stepped into it, my whole life changed. I can't even describe. And again, like I said, when you'll go places you never thought you'd go, you'll do things you never thought you'd do, and you'll meet people that you could have never met staying where you are, staying where you were. And that goes all the way from meeting new partners for your new business. That goes to meeting, people that you can become friendly with, where these people add value to your life. They add knowledge and wisdom to your life that helps you, whether it's financially, whether it's emotionally, whether it's physically. It could also be for single people who are looking for a mate. Living in your passion may introduce a new person to you. Doing what's in your heart, what drives you, could be not doing that, could be the reason why you keep meeting duds. You know what a dud is? A dud is something that just doesn't work out. It looks good in the beginning. It's great for anywhere from one day to a year, and after that, it's a dud. It's like, oh, it's a dud. But, if you live on purpose, and this person, see, because you're on purpose now, so you're going to meet the person that God has for you that's along your way. But living this thing every day, and, unfortunately, by the time, we're so misguided from the things that happened to us, that so many people, I ask people, I'm telling you, I've done it as a survey. I can do it right here just to see, what are your passions? What are you passionate about? There are so many people that cannot even tell you. If you don't know what you're passionate about, all right, these are people that they have simply lost touch with that side of themselves. And if this sounds like you, guess what? It's time to reignite the passion in your life. That's right. Reignite it. It was there when you were a child. So, like I said, this is March, Women's History Month, nationally celebrated. Spring just is about to, or just sprung, or is about to sprung, about to spring. So what's today? The day is coming in just a few days. So for the entire season of spring, we're going to be helping you deal with this thing. Start, and we're going to help you get unstuck. And how we're going to get started in helping you define, in helping you to define what drives you. You're going to start by looking at your needs. What do you need? What do you need? And what are your beliefs? What are the needs and the beliefs that are keeping you stuck? Yesterday I did an assignment with a group and I asked them to write down all the things that is stopping them from living their dream life. I asked them to write down the people and the things that are holding them back. Because your hair is turning gray now. Okay. So, I want to know. I want to hear from you. I want to know. And like I said, we're going to have time for questions. So I want you to let's hear your questions. Okay? After we work on that, then we're going to work together to help you to claim your strengths and to integrate your values and to step into your purpose. Okay? These three things have to go together. Your values, your strengths, and your purpose. I'm telling you, with these things in place, you would be surprised how your day will change. So, I just want you to, think for a minute about the question I asked you earlier. When was the last time you experienced the pure joy and just the intense excitement for real passion in your life? Then I want you to write down, what were you doing when that happened, and what keeps you from experiencing that kind of passion every single day? And that's what I want from you. I want to know, when was the last time you experienced, so for those of you who just tuned in, we are talking about defining what drives you, and we're understanding how what drives us brings us joy, but we need to look at our needs and what our beliefs are that are keeping us stuck, because we said that when we discover what drives us, when we discover our passions, we will live a life that is so full of purpose that every single day, don't tell me that you can't have joy every single day, and that this kind of joy will explode onto everything and everyone around you, coworkers, family members, friends, people that you don't even know that you just walk by on the street or that you stand next to in the store line, people on the phone that you talk to. When you discover your passions, and as I stated, I had discovered my passion some years ago, maybe even a good 12 years ago, or maybe longer, around that time. But I did not walk into it. I wasn't able to walk into it until February the 28th. And though I had many starts down the trail, but I never actually got there. I was headed that way, but I got sidetracked. I was going that direction, but something pulled me back. And when something pulls you back, that's literally something holding you back. And why? Let me ask you the question. Why should you be held back from doing your passion? Why? Give me one good reason. When everything else in life is made for a purpose and we put it, for the most part, we use it for such, why is it that we as human beings, we were created with a purpose, but yet we never think it's worthy enough for us to live it? Why do we settle? Why do we settle? Who are these? And I love where, and I can't wait to get a copy of R.A. Vernon's book, Pastor R.A. Vernon, his book, Size Does Matter. Because he talks, Denise, you know, explained, some of you heard her on the show the other day, and on Sunday, she was on our Sunday show, and she said that he explains in the book there's three basic types of people. There's the micro people, the meso people, and the macro people. I would say the macro people are people on purpose with a passion. The macro people are people who are who have defined what drives them, and they're letting it drive them. They are passionate. The micro people are the people who they don't do much. They don't do much of anything. They just kind of sit around and just pretty much don't do much. And I would surmise that person doesn't know their passion, doesn't know what drives them, and is not trying to discover it at all. They're not even trying. No matter how many times people ask them, what do you want to do with your life? Where do you want to be? It doesn't matter. They're not going to do it. Then there's the mezzo people, M-E-Z-Z-O, the mezzo, like in the middle. You know, like you go into a building, there's a mezzanine. It's not the ground floor. It's not the second floor. It's actually in the middle. It's not called first floor, though. It's called the mezzanine. It's in the middle. And some people are like mezzo people. They're in the middle. They're doing a little bit more than the people that aren't doing anything. Okay, but they're not doing a whole lot. They do a little bit. They might start and stop and do something and not think about it, want to do it, but don't do it, that kind of thing. And then you have your macro people. And I haven't even read the book yet. I haven't even seen the cover of the book. But I can explain those three people, because those are the same three people that, you know, try to get in the way, and there's those people that are in the way, and then there's those people that you know, you want to knock out of the way. And then there's those people who know where they're going. You've heard these three types of people described in other ways, but I like the way he breaks it down, especially for a business student like me, because, you know, if you take in economics, you love the words micro and macro, because that's how we had to understand economics. We had to know those two terms. So, you know, I'm loving this, the micro people, not microwave, but micro, small, small-minded, small doing, not doing much. That kind of micro. And then those mezzo people, we told you about them. And now the macro people, he says, based on her, because she has seen the book, or she's heard him teaching on it, or the book is pre-selling right now. But he's up there in Cleveland, Ohio, for those of you who don't know, or you want to get the book. I would get the book if I was you. But the macro people, he says, are the people who, they're nonstop. They're the ones who can do it at night and while they're sleeping and all that. They're the people that will take an idea and go and run with it. They're the person that they'll get up and get going, take action. They're the people that are driven and know it, and they know what drives them. They are the macro people, the people who are living on purpose. And so where are you at? We ask you the question. So again, going back to the question that I asked, when was the last time you experienced this pure joy, this intense and real passion in your life? What were you doing when it happened? And what keeps you from experiencing that again? So let's get into those needs and to see how it is that you're going to discover this, okay, as we go a little bit deeper in the show today. And now I'm going to open it up for questions in a minute. By the way, I've extended the show an extra half hour, which I will continue to do for the rest of the week, so we can make sure we get time for questions. And I will let Mr. Walker know so that he can also begin, if he can. I don't know if he's able to stay a half hour extra. If not, I will open it up for questions. But that will be our time for you all to ask questions. So I want you to begin to come to the coaching show, especially when I'm running the show. I want you to be able to come with questions, and then I will also begin to ask my guests while they're on, before they come on, if they want to open up the floor for questions. I mean, most do, but I don't want to assume that they do, because some people are new at this, and they may not be comfortable with taking questions on the fly like that. Everybody can do things on the fly. But see, that's why we're macro people, because we fly. Listen, we do it on the fly. You know, we were already Bond girls, and now we want to be macro women. Let's do it. So anyway, also want to just give a shout-out to Mr. Paul Kiriazzi, who is naturally from California. He's in the filmmaking industry, and he moved to Japan some years ago. So we know some dramatic things that have happened in Japan and still happening over there. A power plant blew up yesterday, I hear. And so we definitely want to keep him in our thoughts and our prayers and pray his safety. And normally he's on the show, but maybe power has gone out. I know he was not hit by the tsunami or the earthquake, but maybe power has gone out in his area, or the satellite has gone down, or the power plant, however they're able to use the internet over there. You know, and when things like this happen, especially now that we're in this global society, it just goes to show you how good we have it. And that's why every single day we don't take it for granted. And every day we want to strive to live out our passion. You know, Albert Einstein said something once that was very, very important, and I think it's worth repeating right now. He once said that you can't solve problems using the same thinking that created them. You cannot solve your problems, any problem, using the same thinking that created them. I know that's big, that's big. At some point in time, you're going to have to change your thinking. If you want to do something you never had before, if you want to have something you never had before, you got to do something you never did before. And good morning, Ohio Exopolitics. Good morning in the chat room. I did stop by your show yesterday evening. Good morning. Also, and you want to type something in the chat room, great, great. I'm not sure if you know the answer. Yeah, what coach wants to know, exopolitics, the question is, what drives you? What drives you? What's your passion? What are you passionate about? And what drives you? And everyone, when you get a chance, if you could, on MySpace or Facebook, rather, you could just give a shout out to Mr. Paul Kiriazzi. Now, what happens? Now, here we have people finding themselves, and maybe you've ever found yourself doing this. You ever found yourself having the same arguments over and over? And I've done this, oh my God, in my 21 years of marriage, are you kidding? And even with other people, you ever find yourself having that same argument over and over and over, continually to deal with that same old problem that never seems to get resolved? Or maybe you find yourself snapping at your child to do his or her homework, even though you know it just shuts that child down. You know that kid, by the time you get through fussing at them, believe me, you, they are not going to do that homework. Could you, if somebody was snapping at you, would you feel like doing homework after all that? I know I didn't. Oh, my God, my poor mother used to beat me. But back in the day, you could beat your children. Don't do that stuff today. They will lock you up. And trust me. And I don't think, well, as far as I know, they still do not allow you to have internet in your jail, not in your cell. They may have a room where you can come and get on the internet to look up jobs, but not to get on there to talk to your family and friends and listen to the coach, Alicia. Oh, wouldn't that be nice? We could get the coach of the Alicia show in the prison. That would be great. Or maybe your chronic procrastination has come back to bite you in the rear again and again and again. I've been there, done that. Okay, we've all been there. Everybody has been in one of those places. But that's not really important. That's really not what matters. Because the key to life is, this is one of the keys to life. I think this is a huge key to life. That's why I put it as the very first chapter of my book, Releasing Your Power. A key to life is knowing that you can change. You know, so many people don't think they can change. That's why they keep doing the same thing over and over and over and over and over and over again. expecting a different outcome, though. But they do the same thing over and over and over and over and over because they don't know they can change. That's why NA is so successful and AA, because the first thing they tell people is that you can change. Whether they tell them you need a higher power to do it, it doesn't matter. The point of the matter is they convince them that they can change. Because if they didn't do that, there wouldn't be no need to have an AA or an NA or any other self-help. This is the AA of coaching right here on Blog Talk Radio every morning at 7 a.m. This is your coaching 12-step program. For those of you who need a program, hello, you can change. He can change, she can change, they can change, we all can change. That's the key. That is the key to life, is being able to change. But people don't know this. There are so many people. Like, I didn't think I could change from that little girl who could not sing. Today, I sing in a choir even with others. You can change. Don't let anybody tell you that you can't. So many people, that's why they stay where they are, but you don't have to. See, it's not the problem that you don't have what it takes. It's just that you may have adopted strategies for dealing with them that don't address your needs anymore. See, the problem isn't that you don't have what it takes to solve your problems, because we all do. It's placed within us. We all have, let me say that again, you, me, her, him, them, and they. We all have what it takes to solve our issues, whether it's doing something different, thinking something different, going somewhere different. But so many people have adopted different strategies. I'll never move out of town. I'll never leave my mother's home. I'll never start a new job. You know, all these different strategies for dealing with things that don't address our needs. What is it that we need? And so we're going to talk to you right now for just a second. In order to do that, you need to address, if you want to live, you want to discover what really drives you, you want to live on passion and purpose, right? Okay. Mm-hmm. So I didn't hear from Exopolitics yet and see if they want to answer that question. But you got to answer this question for yourself. Right? And so here's this, just going to look at, follow these three steps to do, to change, to look at if this thing really, if it really serves a need today. First thing you got to do is to determine what your needs are around any situation that you're doing, whether it's at work, if you're getting a degree, if you're raising your family, if you're starting a business, if you're running a business. Determine what your needs are around that situation as it relates to your health, as it relates to your finances, whatever it is. Determine what your needs are and where your needs are not being met. So let's just say if I was a student in school, my need may be to get an A. But are my needs being met? Okay, no, I got a C. Okay, now, the next thing I'm going to do is I'm going to explore whether there are any beliefs that are standing in my way of getting that A. Well, I believe that I should hang out with my friends 3 times a week. Ah, but that might be standing in my way because that cuts down on my study time, on my reflecting time, on the time that I get to do practical application, because when you do, you learn just a little bit more. It's one thing just to read the chapter. It's another thing to do the actual homework. Then it's another thing to give yourself a quiz. Then it's another thing to sit in a group and talk with your group members about the topic. Then it's another thing to sit and explain that same topic to a friend or a parent or whomever will listen. Ah, now real learning takes place. So determine what your needs are around that situation and where they are not being met. Then explore whether there are any beliefs that stand in the way of your success. Then decide how to change your actions in a way that proactively addresses those issues, those needs, and those beliefs. See, how can I change my action that will address that issue? If I had an issue of not doing enough studying, therefore I don't spend enough time with the subject matter to get that A, how can I change my actions? You know, maybe I can let go of some of those friends who are not in school themselves. Let go of, as a matter of fact, let go of all of them because they don't, what am I going to talk to them about? Because you know, I need time to talk about the subject matter. I can't just read it. Now, some people can read and memorize everything they read and just go spit it out. But after that, what do they know? Maybe they know a little, maybe not. Okay? That's just one example. Okay? So we're going to look at each one of those steps a little bit later in more detail. But I really do want to make sure I open up the phone lines for people who at this point have questions, for those of you who are still with us. So I think I've given you enough for now. And then we're going to, you know, have some more discussions about this. And I want to, this is, you know, just samples of the coaching that I can do with you. So if you want, you know, more coaching in this area, you would email me or you would call me up and we could talk about you getting more coaching. But we can absolutely coach you to discovering your passion and walking in it so that you can fulfill your purpose, your dreams, your goals, your destiny. Okay. Destiny is waiting for you now. And if you have a question in the chat room, you certainly can answer it. So, yes, number one, you have to determine what your needs are around that situation and where they're not being met. Explore whether there are beliefs that are standing in the way of your success. And then decide how to change your actions in a way that will proactively address those issues. How can you change your action? It's just like with a person that wants to purchase a home. That may be the situation that, you know, they want to purchase a home, but they're not yet saving enough money. But what are their beliefs about saving money? Maybe they believe that they never have enough, and what they have to spend it on this, 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 and that. So how can you change your actions to remedy that problem or that situation? That issue, to address that proactively, okay? Good, good, good. And so we're going to look again, like I said, I can go in, you know, in deeper with you on looking at these, okay? But for the most part, all of this is part of a more elongated coaching that I can do with you. But let me just go over a few needs if there's no questions right now. But if you have a question, if you're on the phone lines, you need to raise your hand. That's by pressing the number one key on your phone pad. If you press the number one key, you raise your hand, and you can ask a question. But let me just go over some needs, because you may say, you may not be sure, quite sure what we're talking about. Do these needs still serve you? There's basic human needs, okay? There's many discussion about it, much research, different schools of thoughts, but all of them kind of come down to these five basic needs, and, you know, we can all add a few more. Abraham Maslow came up with his hierarchy of needs, and there's several other people came up with Mr. McClellan came up with his three things he said everybody needs: achievement, power, and they need to be, you know, in relationship with someone. He said everybody has those three needs. They have a need to achieve. This is McClellan's theory of needs, and he said everyone had a need for power. You want to be powerful over your own life, if nothing else. And then we have this need to be in relationship with people. We have a need to connect with people, okay? Those are like his three basic needs. But here's another set of needs. We all have the need for security. We want to be secure. We want to feel safe. We want to feel that we're taken care of, right? And Abraham Maslow also said that was one of the needs on the first rung. Actually, that was his second need. Abraham Maslow's first need was a physiological need. He said we all need food, water, and clothing. Okay, that's just our physiological need. Then he said there was that his second level of need was their safety need. We have a need for security, and we need to feel safe. And so here, but these needs are security need. Then there's a need for connection. We all need to belong and feel like we belong and are accepted by those that are around us. That's why when children are bullied or when in the home, when other siblings mistreat them and make them feel that they don't belong there, oh, mommy found you in the trash can, mommy found you on the back porch, you don't belong to this family, you were adopted. People just don't know how those words are killing the spirit of a man or a woman or a child, okay? So people, because we have a need. We have a need to be connected, to feel like we belong, to feel loved. And then there's the need to be autonomous. That's when you see children, no matter how much you did for them, no matter how much you try to control them, they get to an age where they got to run their own life. Even my grandson's barely four and a half, and he's already at that stage. Some of you probably know about this too. He's like, I can do it. I can do it. I'm like, you know, he's never seen the thing. He's never touched it. You know, he doesn't know how to do it. But in his mind, he can do it, because he's at that level of doing things on his own. And that's this autonomous. It happens a lot later in life for some kids, I think. But for most kids, it happens around that age. That's why we're able to teach them how to tie their own shoe when they're around age five. You know, that's why you're able to teach them how to make the bed, because they have it's a human need to be autonomous. It's a human, that's what that word means, is to make your own decisions. That's what having autonomy means. You make your own decision. Nobody tells you what to wear and how to do this, how to do that. You decide for yourself. But it's a need to want to run your own life and make your own decisions. So first need is a need for security. We all need to feel safe. Like I was sharing with the students the other night, we were talking about Abraham Maslow's needs. You know, when you go inside your home and you lock the door, you want to know that no one's going to break in. You want to feel safe while you're there. If you're walking down the street, and you want to feel safe. You want to feel that no one's going to come up and hit you in the head and rape you or knock you out or whatever. You want to feel safe. It's a natural need. And then you want to need to feel connected. You need to be autonomous. And the next need is the need to feel competent. We all need to believe in ourselves and to have others believe in us. So we need to feel like we're smart at something. We need to feel like we're competent, like we're intelligent at something. We don't need to feel like we're intelligent at everything, though some of us may have that need. But everybody needs to feel competent at something. And we need to have others to believe in us. That's like our peers. It's like having our peers. That's why, you know, young people, teenagers, you see a lot of different things that they'll do. You see a lot of things they'll do just to feel accepted, you know, because they want to feel competent. They want to feel like they're appreciated, okay? And then number five, the need to feel worthy. We all need to feel confident in our own self-worth and have others to recognize it as well. And that's why on a lot of jobs, they'll put people over certain committees. Okay, you're over the quality circle team. You're over the team building committee, you know, you're over this and that, because they know that people need to have that self-confidence. Hey, y'all, there's Paul. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Okay, Paul, we talked you up, right? Paul Kiriazi is here in the chat room. Yes. Okay, Paul, you know, we were praying. We were, like, sending up prayers. Hi, Paul, how are you? How's everything in Tokyo, Japan for you? Paul is right there that can tell us the real deal. We don't have to wait to hear from Mr. or Mrs. Newsman or woman. We can hear right from Paul Kiriazzi. So, yes, so Paul's in the chat room. It might take him a minute or two to get his fingers working. So, yes, if you have a question, you can open up your phone line and you can ask a question or make a comment. Let's see. I know somebody. I can just go and open up your phone lines. I know somebody has a comment or question about this. And so you want to meet these needs, because if you don't, either these needs are going to empower you or they can be disempowering. However you meet these needs, they can either empower you or you can be disempowered. How you're meeting these needs. And remember we said, you know, a while back earlier in the show, we talked about, you know, what drives you and discovering what drives you. You need to look at what your needs are, how your needs are being met, and what are your beliefs about these needs. Like, I knew that I had a serious need for autonomy as it relates to my career. I need to be able to make my own decision about what projects I work on, how hard I work on them, when I take vacation, how long I take vacation, what my days off. My days off don't add up to Saturday and Sunday. Sunday, that's fine because I'm going to church anyway, and I haven't worked on a Sunday since I got fired from Dressborn. That's a whole other story I won't tell you today, in 1997. But I will tell you, it was on my road to my destiny. And had I stayed there, I would have gotten trapped in a work environment that did not feed my passion. So sometimes we don't leave on our own. We get thrown out, but it's just as well. It was the greatest day of my life because it led to this day. But that was the last time I worked on Saturday. Even if they had not fired me, I would have quit. And because working on Saturday wasn't a real problem for me, but working on Sunday was. Working on Saturday was somewhat of a problem for me, too. And then and soon after that, I got a job working where I had to work Saturday, and I was off Fridays and Sundays. Well, it served its purpose for a while because I loved having a weekday off. That's how I got my relationship with the prison. I was off on Fridays, and I used to go to the prisons once a month. I was off on Fridays anyway, and it wouldn't have worked for me to go there on Saturday. So your life is lined up with your goals and your passion if you let it, if you let it. And so after I no longer did that, I no longer had a need to be off on Friday. I then began to want to be off on Saturdays again so I could travel and do workshops and seminars. So then I left that job. But today I'm at fully 100% working on projects that I want, scheduling my day the way I want, because I'm working on projects that I choose to work on. But that's autonomy that I needed for me. You may not need that same level of autonomy. Maybe your need for connection. Is it empowering you or is it disempowering you? Okay? Each of these needs are going to be dealt with for us to live happy, healthy, and productive lives. And most of us have long since worked out strategies for doing that. Unfortunately, not all of these strategies are healthy. For example, I'm just going to give you one example of an unhealthy strategy, because some of you're like wondering, like, what is she talking about? Unhealthy strategy, what is that? For example, there are people who are playing the victim because it helps them feel secure, because they're manipulating others to take care of them. So they play the victim, they play helpless, because it is meeting that security need. That is a disempowering way to meet that security need. So they play the victim. Poor me. Look at me, mommy or husband or friend or whomever. I can't hardly make it on my own. I can't hardly do it. So I need, because we all need security, remember. So they play this victim, and then they manipulate others into taking care of them. And the fallout of that behavior is probably going to play out negatively over and over and over again. So I want you to think about that. I want you to think about these five primary needs in your own life and see if you can list one empowering and one disempowering behavior that you engage in related to each of these needs. And then I want you to pick one of the disempowering needs that you'd like to work on, okay? And let's talk about how to, you know, create that and make it a very empowering approach. We want to live empowered lives. We want to live, do you, okay, let me just back up and react to the question. First of all, do you want to live a life of power? Do you want to define what drives you? Do you want to do what drives you? Or do you want to live disempowered? Okay? So that's our message today on defining what drives you. Now you know how to do it. You got to get to your needs. You got to get to your beliefs. You got to see which beliefs and are and needs, which beliefs are empowering those needs. And what beliefs are causing those needs to be you're doing it in a way that is very disempowering to you, therefore having no joy, having no happiness, not living on purpose, not living healthy. And by the way, we did hear from Paul. Let's see what Paul had to say. Thank you, thank you. Okay, Paul said, internet news is over-alarming. I know, we know the news can do that. He says, I can speak but not listen. Oh, I'm so sorry. Paul, I'm sorry to hear that. I am still studying English for my writing. No joke. Good, good, good. And Coach's subject today is great and effective. So he says that, so Paul is saying that he cannot, he can listen. Yes, he can. I can speak but not listening, but not listen. Hey, all right, okay, not sure if it's, and okay, great, all right, I was just trying to read some of the messages there. Okay, wife watching night news, she says the atomic power is getting better, okay, atomic power is getting better. Okay, yes, it's very serious, but seems to be some stabbing at the power plant. I ask wife again soon. It's in Japanese, so she tells me what's up. Okay, great, 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 great. Okay, great. Well, we pray for you and your family over there. Coach, he was talking about the language. You are reading from the bottom up. I am? Okay. Okay, so you read it for me. Okay, good to see you, Paul. Okay, great. I'm not quite sure. She said I'm reading from the bottom up. Okay. So anyway, he's still studying. Oh, okay. I'm still studying English for my writing. Okay, great. There she is. Okay. Okay, stabling the power plant. I'm sorry, I said stabbing. So they're stabbing the power plant. I'm thinking, okay, why are they stabbing the power plant? Okay, stabling. I got you, Paul. Thank you, thank you, thank you. All right, so they're making sure they get some power. So I know the news can be a bit over-alarming. And Paul is making sure he learns Japanese very, very good. Okay, Kiva. Oh, she says, oh, yes, good, Kiva. Thank you for putting your answer and your two cents in. She says, I am driven to encourage people to be the best they can be through God's love. So you're saying then, Kiva, that this is a thing that drives you. This is a thing that you can do every day, whether you got paid for it or not. It's what you're passionate about. It's what sets you on fire. You're overjoyed about it. You feel fully at health and happy. So why do we not do these things every day that give us all this joy and happy? Because that's what passion is. When we find what drives us, we're basically finding our passion. And when we tap into our passion, it gives us an overabundance of joy, happiness. We have health. We're healthy. So why would we not do this every single day? We need to find a way to do it. Now, here are just five beliefs that you want to look at for your life, too. Let me just give you these before we go. You want to look at, what are your beliefs about life? What are your beliefs about self? What are your beliefs about people? What are your beliefs about love? And what are your beliefs about abundance? So there's life, self, people, love, and abundance. And I know for a while my beliefs about life were wacky. My beliefs about self were wacky. My beliefs about people were, you know, all of those beliefs for me were out of whack. And so now we're putting our life in balance and we're getting our needs. We're understanding that we have these basic needs. The need for connection, the need for security, the need for you know, we have this, the need. You have a need to be, where do we put those needs? You have the need to feel worthy and autonomous and competent. And then we have these beliefs about life and self and people and love and abundance. So yes, Paul, what drives you? Five basic needs right there: security, connection, confidence, competent, and self-worth. And what do we believe? Now, all of your beliefs are going to be different, you know, according to your experiences. What are our beliefs? What do you believe? Some people know when they got married, they had the wrong beliefs about people. Some people know that when they went out on the first job, they had the wrong belief about themselves. And remember what I said, the key to all of this is knowing that you can change. So it's not, we're not going to get trapped in what the beliefs are. We're just understanding what they are so we can see where do we need to move from. Or maybe the beliefs we have are great. Again, are you living on passion? Again, if we go back to the beginning of the conversations, okay, I've stated that we've seen that there are so many, many, many powerful things that people have experienced, but they never live their day-to-day passionate life. So we started out by asking you the question, what about you? When was the last time you experienced feelings of pure joy that comes from following your passion? When? If not now, then when? I don't know. I'm just asking. I'm not forcing. I'm just asking. If not now, then when? I told you, I did mine on when. When did I start following my passion? When? February the 28th, I said, I'm doing it. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. Sick and tired of not following my passion. I want to live a life that's full of joy. And this joy only comes from, it's hard for me to explain. The only people that know about this joy are other people who are following their passions. If you're not following your passions, I cannot explain this joy to you. I'm not going to try. All I can tell you is I'm living it. It happened. I'll do my best to explain to you. But until you do it, but you can't do it if you don't know it. First, you got to discover your passion. You got to discover what you're passionate about. Okay, well, We're coming down to the end of the show. Like I said, I wanted to get some questions from you. I wanted you to ask some questions. We have a few more minutes. I know somebody on the line has at least one question that you would like to, or a comment. Maybe you don't have a question. Maybe you would like to make a comment. This would be a great time to hear your voice on air by making your comment. We welcome your comment. Give you a second to get your comment together. Get your sentence ready. Oh, by the way, for those of you who missed the show yesterday, you didn't get a chance to hear us talk about Saturday's Writers Conference. If you enjoyed the conference, please post a note on my Facebook page and tell me how much you enjoyed the conference. It was awesome, the convention. We already are scheduled for a second date. I'm already scheduled to go do a self-publishing workshop at another place as a result of that. Please. Oh, and we're looking forward to being at Essex County College on March 30th, if any of you can make it. March 30th at 10 o'clock in the morning, they have what they call Social Work Day. Anyone who is interested in social work or ever thought about doing it, you want to meet people that's in that field, Essex County College has been putting this on every year for a good 10 years or so. It's called Social Work Day. It is organized and coordinated by Ms. Professor Saeed, and I'm going to be their keynote speaker this year. I was very honored and happy that they thought of me for that, since I've been knowing about this event for 10 years. I know it's a fabulous event. And it will probably, now we'll do a session there on releasing your power. I will have my books there for sale for those of you who want to come, who don't yet have the book. You want to get the book right there on the spot, get it signed, meet with the author. I will be right there signing my book at Essex County College. Basically, my very first book signing at Essex County College, so I'm extremely happy about that. Yet, I'm not surprised that it's coming just weeks after I began to live my passion and purpose. I'm just so not surprised. 10 years I've been knowing about this event. 10 years I've been knowing that woman. 10 years I've been knowing those people. So how is it that just weeks after I step into my purpose, I get the phone call? So you see, I'm telling you, there is something that happens almost magically when you walk into your purpose. I had another call 3 days ago from a woman that I hadn't heard from in a long time, couple years. She calls me up and asks me to come and do a workshop on what? The things that I'm passionate about, helping people live their fullest life right now. I couldn't believe it. I met with her. We talked about it. The program has started in April. I'll go on Thursday night to an event where she's launching it to the entire community. You see, just that quick, I'm telling you, I've been wanting to do what I'm going to do with her program, called Lavender and Lace, what I've been wanting to do, something like that, for years. Because remember, I knew my passion for years. But it wasn't until I followed, and this program is brand new, just starting. How is that? It's almost as if, you know, which one had to come first? I had to walk into my passion, but at the same time, my passion was creating things for me to do. Come on. You can't miss this. You can't miss this. You gotta follow your passion. Whatever you're passionate about. If you're passionate about singing, go sing. Go start your own record label. Start your own record company. If you're passionate about drawing, go and open an art gallery. Don't wait for somebody to put your art in their gallery. Go start your own. Start it in your living room. Start it in your basement. Invite your friends and family over. Invite them to come over to your gallery and see your artwork. Whatever it is you do, go do it now. Why are you waiting? What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? you're waiting for. Yeah, I tell you what you're waiting for. I'll tell you. I know because I waited for this too. I'll tell you what some people are waiting for. They're waiting for time to pass them by so that they can look up at 50 or 60 or 70 or whatever and say, oh, I wish I had done this or that. That's what they're waiting for. They're waiting for time to pass them by. Or they're somewhat waiting for time to run out. Because I know what people would tell you. Well, I don't have the money. Well, I don't have the certificate. Well, I don't have the degree. Well, I don't have this and I don't have that. And well, what do you have? Do like Moses. Use what's in your hand. What do you have? Well, all I got is a mouth. Well, start talking then. Talk to everybody you know about your passion. Again, like I said, going to work for the Lavender and Lace program. I mean, I was blown away when this woman said, look, here, you're going to have an office right there to come work in. Whenever you come here to teach, I'll be doing the program there 2 days or 3 days a week. The program that I want to do, my passion is to not go get a job, but to go do it, my passion is to tell somebody to say to me, I'm a trainer, you know that, teacher, trainer, coach. My passion is for somebody to say to me, well, what do you want to do, Lalisa? Some of y'all know that, and everybody at Kentalk know. Everybody, the job where I walked away from to walk into my passion, they all know this is my thing. All of my students at Essex County College that I teach know my thing is to work where they don't tell you what to do. They ask you. Even with the interview, they say to you, okay, well, what do you want to do in this company? You know, I'm so radical about that. I'm so controversial. I am so against seeing an ad in the paper on a particular job. Now, if it's a job you desire and want, wonderful. But you just taking a job just for a paycheck, you don't even like doing that. You know you didn't like doing it when you answered the ad, and then you go there and do it. I'm just so against that. Though I did it many, many, many years because I didn't know how to do anything else. That's how I was trained. But I love to flip the script to where if I was to go there, I would love to, if I could just be a recruiter for a day in any big company, you know. And then when people come, I would just blow their mind by asking them, so what would you like to do? These are all the things you can do in this company. Which would you like to do? I bet you 90% of them would not, 90%, this is my hypothesis, 90% of them would not choose a job they apply for. I believe that in my heart of hearts. And then I believe that even if they did, that at the end of 6 months, they would choose another. Even if they said that the one that they came there for, because most people, once they get into a job, that all that job entails, they realize, ooh, wow, this is not for me. This is just so not for me. Yes, I knew Paul would add something great and powerful. Paul says that Francis Ford Coppola said, if you give up on your dream, you already lost it. So now you might as well try, because now you have nothing. You have nothing to lose by going after your dream. Love it, Paul. Okay, I need to definitely write that down. That is very, very powerful. And this was stated by Francis Ford Coppola, who said, if you give up on your dream, you've already lost it. Okay? You've already lost it. So, you might as well go after it anyway. Awesome, awesome. Thank you, Paul, for joining us. Pat, Kiva, all the rest in the chat room. Thank you to those of you on the phone lines. Thank you for tuning in. I hope y'all got questions tomorrow. I don't want no stuff out of you. No, actually, Wednesday. No, Percy Walker tomorrow. So I don't know if he'll take questions or not. But also, we just have a few seconds left. Call me later if you have any questions. You know, I'd love to talk to you. Have a great day, everybody. Go out, find and discover your passion. It's not too late. This has been the Coach Lalisa.
Thank you for tuning in to another segment of the Coach LaLisa Show. But we hope you learned something. Now your challenge is to go and apply the tips, tools, or strategies that you have learned here today. And don't forget to invite a friend. Share the knowledge. Share the love. Share the wealth with everyone. Well, we are honored that you were here with us today for this 30-minute segment. The Coach LaLisa Show can be heard right here on Blog Talk Radio every morning, Monday through Friday, at 7:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's been great. It's been real. It's been awesome. And you got to keep moving on up, because in reality, there ain't nothing stopping you now. You are on the move. And this has been Coach LaLisa J. Williams.